believe it was the great hymn writer, John Newton, that said, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I should be, and I'm not what I could be, but thanks be to God, I'm not what I used to be, and by His grace, I am what I am. And I'm thankful for God's grace and His saving grace. I'm hobbling a little bit, I'm walking around on crutches, and I'm humbled and embarrassed. I actually called Pastor yesterday, and I said, I'm not sure if you want me to preach because I'm walking around on crutches. I don't want to draw any attention to myself, but I'm that way. I'm injured because of my disobedience to my wife, and I want to say I'm sorry, and I regret my action. Thursday evening, I've been recovering from my little procedure I've had about 5 weeks ago, and I've been itching to do something active and physical, and so that morning, I went to the gym and just did a little stretching and exercise without doing too much. Well, it felt so good that evening, I wanted to go back to the gym. Like, who goes to the gym twice in one day? And so I was taking Jonathan to the gym, and we're going to shoot around and play basketball and get around a little bit. I just remember my wife saying, don't play basketball, don't get hurt. I played basketball, and I got hurt. So the message tonight is very simple. Men, listen to women. Husbands, obey your wives. And all the ladies and the wives said, I'm going to ask our pastor to come this time to extend our invitation as we close our service. God used this incident, this accident, really as a good teaching point, even to my children as well, too. Because even on the basketball court there, Jonathan even said, Dad, Mom said not to play basketball. I was feeling good. Jonathan, don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And so the lesson is when Mom says to do something, obey immediately and obey quickly. And all the moms said, maybe that's the message and now the invitation. If you would tonight, take God's word, as our pastor says many times, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, to 2 Corinthians, to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading this evening in verse number 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. As you're turning there, I would like to say thank you to our pastor for the opportunity to speak and to preach. So, Pastor, thank you again. Thank you to our church family. Just as Pastor Gillett just mentioned, we'll be here in just a couple months, 3 years in Texas serving at Worth Baptist Church. Our family loves the opportunity working with the young people in our youth department. And I want to say thank you to everyone tonight for being here and being in your place. We were reminded just a couple weeks back about the privileges and responsibilities of church membership from Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us that there really is a difference between a Sam's Club membership and church membership. And the three pictures that were given, maybe you weren't here. I'm re-preaching his message. But from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're part of a body, so get involved. Ephesians 5, we're part of a family, so be loving. Ephesians 2, we're part of a building, so be together. So, Pastor, thank you for the challenge and the charge to not take our church membership lightly. If you missed a message several weeks ago for whatever reason not being here, I want to challenge you to go back to worthbc.org or even our Facebook page to watch and listen and even to share because it really was convicting and helpful. And I understand it's not always easy to work and to love people like Ron Baldwin. I mean, it's difficult. Every time I preach, I have to find something to say about Brother Ron. I was hobbling along, and you would think that he would come with some compassion, and he's ready to kick my leg, and he's making fun of me. I know it's difficult to be around people like that, but look, we're a church family, so get involved, be loving, and be together. Pastor, appreciate the message, and I really do want to say thank you for being in your place as a church member here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at verse 17. Follow along as we read. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you're in the habit of maybe marking things in your Bible or taking notes or maybe just a mental note, if you'll go back to verse number 20, I want us to look at the phrase, we are ambassadors for Christ. This will be our theme, our topic, and our title. We are ambassadors for Christ. I'd like to give an illustration. Tyrone Curtis Muggsy Bogues, he played for Dunbar High School in Baltimore, Maryland. In his senior season, the USA Today ranked them as the number one high school team in the country. Tyrone played with three future NBA stars. Maybe that's why they were ranked number one in the country. David Wingate, Reggie Williams, and Reggie Lewis. After high school, Tyrone Bogues had the opportunity to play college basketball. He received a scholarship to go to Wake Forest, and he played 4 years at Wake Forest University. His senior season, he averaged 14.8 points, 9.5 assists, 3.8 rebounds, and 2.4 steals. Very good statistics as a basketball player. And because of that, Muggsy Bogues was drafted in 1987 as the 12th pick overall by the Washington Bullets. What's really neat about Muggsy Bogues is this. He is the shortest player to ever play in the NBA at 5'3". Anyone in the room that's 5'3"-ish somewhere? One or two or three of you? That's how tall Muggsy Bogues was. With the Bullets, you'll see here, not only was he 5'3", but he played with the tallest player in the NBA history, Manute Bol, who was 7'7". And because of the difference there, they became famous. Others who were drafted in the 1987 draft, names that maybe you would be familiar with, are folks like David Robinson and Reggie Miller and Scottie Pippen and Kevin Johnson. Muggsy played 14 seasons in the NBA for four different teams, but he's most known for playing with the Charlotte Hornets. He spent 10 years playing for the Charlotte Hornets, and I lived just right out of Charlotte, outside of Charlotte, and growing up, that's my favorite basketball team. And so because of his size and his height, I always thought, if he could do it, I could do it. Muggsy Bogues finished his career there, and he established himself as an exceptional passer, a great ball stealer, and one of the fastest players on the court. To this day, Muggsy Bogues leads the Hornets in career minutes played, assists, and steals. But what I love about Muggsy Bogues is this. After he retired, he stayed there in the community to make a difference. As a matter of fact, he even coached the WNBA team, the Charlotte Sting. And even being part of that team, he was the shortest player. I think there was a woman that played there. The shortest one was like 5'6", I believe. But here's what I'm saying about Muggsy Bogues, and this is what I wanted to share with you just kind of as an illustration. A few years back on March the 18th, 2014, Muggsy Bogues was named the Charlotte Hornets ambassador participating in the team's rebranding. He received that title because he is one of the most famous and popular Charlotte Hornets ever. And in our auditorium tonight, there are many different titles that are represented. Some are called sir and ma'am. Some are called boss and manager and co-worker and employee, or maybe even owner. Maybe you're a student or a teacher. Maybe you're a neighbor or a friend. There are several, no doubt, in this room that are called husband and wife, mom or dad. You may be a child, a brother, a sister, a niece, a nephew, a cousin, or an aunt or uncle, or maybe great aunt or grand uncle. But I would say that maybe one of the most important titles in our room tonight is the title of grandma or grandpa. How many of you are grandparents? Would you raise your hand? Wow, we have a great group. And if you're a grandparent, you're probably not ashamed. You may be called Gigi or Granny or Mama or Mimi or Papa or Pops or Granddad. There's a lot of different names that are given to us tonight. My point this evening is that there are many titles given to you, but I want us to be reminded that one of the most important titles that we have is maybe one of the titles that we often forget and neglect. And that title is the title that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. The call and the reminder to each of us this evening is not to not be an ambassador for the Dallas Mavericks or the Texas Rangers or the Dallas Stars or even the Dallas Cowboys. But the call, the message, the reminder to us this evening is that we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? That's a great question. Webster's Dictionary says this: an ambassador is a minister of the highest rank, employed by one prince or state at the court of another to manage the concerns of his own prince or state and representing the dignity and power of his sovereign. One commentator giving commentary to this passage here, and especially to the word ambassador, said this: at all times and in all countries, an ambassador is a sacred character, and his person is regarded as inviolable. He is bound implicitly to obey the instructions of his sovereign, and as far as possible to do only what the sovereign would do were he himself present. Ministers are ambassadors for Christ, as they are sent to do what he would do were he personally present. They are to make known and to explain and enforce the terms on which God is willing to be reconciled to people. They are not to negotiate on any terms, nor to change those which God has proposed, nor follow their own plans or devices, but they are simply to urge, to explain, to state and enforce the terms on which God is willingly to be reconciled. Of course, they are to seek the honor of the sovereign who has sent them forth and to seek to do only his will. The commentator concludes, they go not to promote their own welfare, not to seek honor, dignity, or emolument, but they go to transact the business which the Son of God would engage if he were again personally on earth. It follows that their office is one of great dignity and great responsibility, and that respect should be shown them as the ambassadors of the King of Kings. Many things I think we could maybe bring attention to tonight about being an ambassador for Christ. But I want to give attention to a very important characteristic of an ambassador for Christ tonight. One of the most important characteristics maybe of an ambassador for Christ is not his talents or his gifts or his abilities or where he's from. But I think one of the most important characteristics or part of an ambassador for Christ is this: it's his message. We will give attention to three things tonight about the message of the ambassador. Number one, an ambassador for Christ has received the message. Number two, an ambassador for Christ is a representative or representing the message. And number three, an ambassador for Christ continues to relay the message. Let me give those things to you tonight as a message. Number one, an ambassador has received the message. What is the message of the ambassador? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. It is the message of reconciliation. The passage that we just read, the key idea, the key theme of this paragraph is reconciliation. You may want to just in your Bible go and mark, just as I have, five different times in these verses that we read, we see the word reconciled, reconciling, and reconciliation mentioned over and over and over again. The message is a message of reconciliation. What does that mean? The meaning of the word reconcile is this: to change thoroughly. It refers to a change relationship between God and the lost world. To be reconciled to God means through the work of the cross, Jesus Christ has brought man and God together again. Why are we separated from God? It's because of our sin. God has been reconciled and has turned his face in love toward us and toward the world because of what Jesus Christ has done. Let me give you just a few references to give commentary to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Colossians 1, verse 20 and 21, our pastor read these verses recently to us, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The question this evening is this: have you received the message? Have you personally received the message of salvation? Have you received the message of eternal life? Have you received the message of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm not asking if you're a church member or do you give towards missions or do you give towards charity or if you're volunteering in outreach ministries or have you been baptized or if you're faithful to church, but can you think of a time specifically in your life when you've repented of your sin and by faith turned to Christ and trusted him as your Savior and received the message of salvation? I remember July the 11th, 1998, as a teenager after summer camp. I just saw Brother Corey. Where's Brother Corey at? Brother Corey, I appreciate you trying to start a camp. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for camp ministry. I remember that after that week of camp, I was in my bedroom on a Saturday evening, and for the first time, I'd been going to church, and I had learned John 3:16. Every now and then, I was wearing a shirt and tie to church. I knew all the Christian things, but I had never received the message personally. There was a lot of head knowledge. That evening, after that week of camp, I thought, Tony, you're going to church. You hear the message of the gospel, but if you died right now, do you really know that you're on your way to heaven? And for the very first time, I had to be honest with myself and God. I did not know that. I had never received the message. I had heard it, but I never received it. I picked up the phone, and I thank God for faithful members at a local church that had reached out to me even as a teenager. And I picked up the phone, and the Christian man at the church, I called, and I said, this sounds really crazy, but I don't know if that I'm really saved. I don't know that I'm really on my way to heaven. I need to get that settled. And he shared a few Bible verses with me, and Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 and verse 13, all those things I had heard and even memorized, but they were never personal until I was a 14-year-old teenager. I had received the message of salvation. How many of you have received the message of salvation? I hope that's true. Never forget it. I think it'd be good for you to kind of rehearse that message to yourself, to your family, and to those that are around you. Number one, an ambassador not only has received the message, but he is a representative, or he's representing the message. As you look in the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth was really weak. They were surrounded by idolatry and immorality, and they struggled. Through personal visits and letters, Paul tried to instruct them in the faith to resolve their conflicts and to solve their problems. 1 Corinthians was written to deal with specific moral issues of the church. But there were false teachers who denied Paul's authority and his teaching. So Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to kind of defend his position, but also to denounce those who were twisting the truth. One writer said it this way, on a bed of grass, a chameleon's skin turns green. On the earth, it becomes brown. The animal changes to match the environment. And many creatures blend into nature with God-given camouflage suits to aid their survival. It's natural to fit in and adapt to the environment. But the writer said this, but for followers of Christ, we are new creations. We are born again. We are born from above and changed from within. True believers are not to blend in with the world. We are to represent the message that's been given to us. Verse 17, we've memorized and read, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. We are to represent Christ in the way we act, the way we talk, the places we go, the things that we watch, the people that we hang around with. Why? So we can be good representatives of the message that's been given to us. Let me give a personal illustration. This past week, Jonathan went with me. Every Monday in the morning, I have the chance to go to Odie White High School, and he was out of school, and he decided to wake up early and to go with me. And we had 17 people that morning in a circle gathered around in the cafeteria for a time looking into the promises of God's word and also spending the day in prayer just to start the school day. And it was just so encouraging. We left. Everything was great. It was our last Monday because tomorrow there's no school. We won't meet. And as we were walking out, one of the teachers, as they were coming in to work, said, Tony, good to see you. Thank you for bringing Christ to our school. That was just encouraging. I was glad to see the 17 people meeting in a circle and praying and for the school year, and we're thankful for the influence that we have there. But it was a great teaching opportunity for me to give to Jonathan, because I told him she's not only a teacher, she's a Christian teacher. She understands that God had placed her there at the school to represent the message. And I've seen her many times talk to students about the gospel, inviting them to our prayer group, inviting them to our special services here. If there's any need, if I'm ever on campus, she's always sending students my way because she's trying to represent the gospel, the message. And I explained to Jonathan that it's very important for us to be Christians, not just on Sunday and on Wednesday, but we are to be Christians representing on Monday and on Tuesday. We are to be Christians and representing on our jobs or at our classes or on our ball team, whatever it may be. We are to represent the message that's been given to us. How am I? How are you? How are we representing the message that's been given to us? I love the songs that we sing sometimes in children's church. Walk, walk, walk the Bible way. Read your Bible daily. Don't forget to pray. Smoking, drinking, fist fighting, dirty talk, they all make you walk the dirty walk. The things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. An ambassador for Christ, number one, is receive the message. And then number two is representing the message. Number three tonight, an ambassador for Christ is also relaying this message. The ambassador for Christ has one job. That's to take the message that's been given to him to a lost and dying world. Let me tell you a story of a young man that was in our youth department. I shared it a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning with our upperclassmen guys. My wife and I had an opportunity for several years to work in a youth ministry in Tennessee. After this young man graduated from high school, he went off to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. He graduated to college in 2015. He joined the Air Force. After college and just recently, I think just 6 months ago or so, he became the first U.S. Air Force pilot to operate a U.S. Navy EA-18G Growler during a combat mission. I was like, I know that guy. Like, I used to teach him in Sunday school. Like, I've seen him growing up. Something that was unique about this individual, he has a Facebook page, and he always puts wholesome, encouraging things up, and so I like to see what he puts. But this has been some years past, and I copied and pasted and filed it off for myself just to encourage me. But he shared something on Facebook that I've always remembered, and here's his post. If I knew the cure for cancer and did not share that knowledge with anyone but kept it to myself, I would be one of the most selfish and hated people on earth. The need for a cure is great. I do not know the cure for cancer. What I do know is a cure for sin and eternity in hell. The cure is salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, which is worse, cancer or eternity in hell? This is true love, being the voice crying in the wilderness, calling for people to repent and to turn to Jesus before it's too late. Before you ridicule Christians for sharing their faith, think about what they're trying to do and how much they actually love you to go out of their comfort zone to give you such good news. This young man, I believe, understands the importance of relaying the message that's been given to him. Can I say this? Use your social media to spread the gospel, to relay the message. Teenager, or maybe parents and teenager, if we were to scroll down your Snapchat and your Instagram and your Twitter and your Facebook, could we see anything about the most important message to mankind? I'm not preaching against Young Living or 31 or Starbucks Latte or Plexus. I just want to remind us to not get so distracted that we forget to relay the message that every human being needs. Teenager, parent, when's the last time? I'm not pointing at you because I'm speaking to myself, but when's the last time we relayed the message? When's the last time we actually took time, whether it's on Facebook, to share a Bible verse that we read that morning? What about a message that our pastor just preached that spoke to your heart? Or maybe a special meeting that's taking place at your church? Hopefully you're not ashamed of that. I'm thinking of our young people a lot because I'm around them. A lot of factors, I would say, that are detour and distracting young people. But one of the things is the influences of other people and bad friends. I would guarantee you this, teenager. If you would put God's message on your social media account, you may not get as many likes, but you'll get rid of some of the friends that you don't need to have. It's very clear. I shared this a few weeks ago in our youth department on a Wednesday night, and I wasn't preaching on social media because there really is some good and there's some bad from it. But if you're not sharing the gospel and using that as a point to even further the gospel, you probably shouldn't even have it. That's why I'm not disciplined enough to have Snapchat and Twitter. My wife and I share a Facebook account, and that's hard enough. Because here's what we want to do. Just scroll. Plexus again. Strawberry, Starbucks latte. Young oils. What is that? Who cares what you're eating? And the next thing you know, you're just wasting time. You're laughing because you're guilty like I am. I'm not against putting your kids' pictures up, because we do that because that's a good way to communicate with our parents, my mom and Rachel's mom and our families, and so they want to see what's going on, and so we put that up so they could see it. You don't have to put a Bible verse up every minute, but why don't you relay the message with what God has given you? Brother Andrew, where are you at? Who are the types of people that pass out gospel tract and gospel literature? It's the people that carry them. Do you have gospel tract on you? Do you keep them in your purse, in the car? Many times I think I'm guilty. I will go to a restaurant, I'm ready to eat and leave. My wife, the spiritual one in our group, maybe we should leave a tip and a gospel tract. Yeah, we probably should. I'd guess so. And then we'll go out to the car and get one. Let's relay the message. Here's what one writer said. Can I ask what excites you? A nicer house, a newer car, more money in the bank account, a larger vacation, or a longer vacation? The thing that ought to excite us is that we get to be part of the greatest thing going on planet Earth today, which is God's work in this world. Can I tell you what God's intention is? The writer says God's intention is not just man would be saved, but God's intention is that man be saved and those that are saved get others saved. I am part of God's intention. I am part of God's plan in this world. The preacher is not just the man that stands behind the platform in the pulpit and opens his Bible and yells like a wild Indian. The preacher is everyone that carries the message of Jesus Christ. See, there are people outside of these walls that will never come in to hear someone like me preach or even our pastor preach. There are people outside of these walls who are not coming to these services. There are people outside of these walls that you can reach that none of us will ever speak to. God's intention. All that know must tell those who do not know. One writer said, the gospel doesn't need a salesman. It simply needs a witness. Not a sales pitch, just a testimony. And I just want to remind us, as we get ready to launch into the summer, it may not be a summer slump type season, but may we be reminded that out of all the titles that we have, one of the most important titles is that we are ambassadors for Christ. Have you received the message? How are you representing the message? And if you're like me, you need to maybe recommit in relaying the message in a better way. Would you say it with me? Repeat after me. We are ambassadors for Christ. Say it again. We are ambassadors for Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our pastor comes to extend the invitation this evening, dear God, thank you for the reminder this evening that we are to receive this message. We are to represent the message, and we are to relay the message. Use us to be ambassadors tomorrow at our work, with our families, to our neighbors, at the gas station, at the restaurant, in our community, to our country, and help us to be ambassadors to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand together. It really is the greatest message the world has ever known. And it really would change your life if you've ever received it. You've heard it tonight. We're sinners. Jesus died for you. Repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've heard it. Have you received it? Have you received the message? Christian, let me ask you, how are you representing the message? An ambassador is a somebody, and he acts like a somebody. Does anybody that you work with, anybody that lives in your neighborhood, do the people in your family know that you're a representative of Jesus Christ? How are you representing him? Then I think all of us could do better. Each and every person in this room could do better at relaying the message. It's been clear tonight. If God's spoken to you, why don't you join these who've already come? If you need to be saved, let us show you how you can be. Christian, come and find a place at this altar and do your business with the Lord.